Have you ever noticed that there is a word missing from this account of Jesus' birth? Have you ever noticed? There's this word that's missing, and there's no word for where Jesus is born. Right? It doesn't actually say. It doesn't say stable. It doesn't appear anywhere. Though most of us put a stable there in our minds, right? In our nativity scenes, place them in a stable, right? And it doesn't say anything about animals either. Though we want to put animals in the story. We do all of this because there is one word that is in the text. Manger. A manger is a feeding trough, right? It's like a big, long box without a top that food goes in. And the story is very free of location details in general. We know the city, and then shortly after this, it says that the shepherds were out away in the fields, and that's about it. In fact, what it does say is pretty simple. While they were there, hopefully I assume Bethlehem, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There's no sense of where they are at all. It really feels missing from the text, in fact. We know where they're not. An inn. Now, this year, I'd like to entertain this idea that the Holy Family truly had no place to go in a very literal sense. Right? They couldn't stay in the inn. There was no place for them. So they were ostensibly invisible and lying on the street, perhaps finding a corner of a building for shelter, perhaps a door frame. And there, under the light of the moon and the stars, in a relative quiet, I suppose, Jesus was born. And I imagine Joseph and Mary looking up at that sky and praising God for this miracle on a night like this one. Perhaps soldiers saw a similar sight from the trenches on the Western Front, the moon and stars lighting the sky, what the gun smoke doesn't obscure, the dirt and the dust kicked up, really a constant haze covering most of it. They're staring at the sky and dreaming of where else they should be tonight. And was this story, this scene that we paint in our minds, what was in the mind of that young man who sent a football, that what we call a soccer ball, over the breach and into no man's land? These young men had learned the hard way to keep their head down, quite literally, keeping it below the top of the trench, that even looking across the way towards your enemy to see where they're at was a dangerous act. And here, this night, 100 years ago, they emerge from their trenches facing the specter of death, to find something completely different. Camaraderie. Right? British and German young men greeting in that dangerous space between the sides of the front, these sides dug in, literally. And here they are in that space where many of their friends had died and at the hands of their enemies, right? There. Those same hands, they're shaking. And this night, they're gathering in that space in the middle of everything, and they are sharing with each other something truly profound. It comes in the form of hot drinks and some gifts. They even exchange prisoners. They even played some football. 100 years ago tonight, the Christmas truce suspended the Great War, the ugliest and most brutal war the world had ever known, a war that ushered in the modern age of warfare, that destroyed millions of lives on an unprecedented scale, that destroyed an entire generation in Europe. It is one of the gravest stains on human history. And this truce popping up has to rival one of the greatest Christmas miracles in human history. Enemies dropping their weapons and celebrating with one another as friends. The closest many of our predecessors had ever seen to a lion lying down with a lamb, right? Or what the late preacher saint told us in that dream he had. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. Of course, the truce ended in the early hours of the 26th, call it Boxing Day, or perhaps more apt today to call it Massive Returns Day, or the gift cards are burning holes in our pockets day. But the beauty of the truce would come to an end. And of course it would. That's what we tell ourselves anyway. Of course it would end. Of course, after the beauty of tonight, of that moment of Christmas, we'll have to go back. But what if we don't? Right. The power of the Christmas truce a century ago, again, this night, was that these were kids. Kids. Told to hate the people on the other side of something that they called no man's land because no man should go there. And they, over the course of months and eventually years, had scorched the land and destroyed the trees and the plants and driven away the wildlife with the gun and cannon fire and then the developing evil that is the machine gun, mowing them down. And all of these kids, like virtually all of the people in England and France and Germany just one Christmas earlier, could not have imagined the situation, this arrangement. It was incomprehensible. No human would do this to another human. And to be brutally blunt, these soldiers, 17, 18, they didn't even know why they were fighting each other. It was a war that didn't make any sense. All they knew was that they had to, right? Until they stopped. Then, of course, they were ordered to fight again, bring it all back, ordered to go back to this new normal, told that they had to hate the people on the other side, made more difficult because mothers wrote to newspapers and wrote letters to the front lines, urging their sons to continue fighting. That they were so willing to sacrifice these firstborn sons for this cause, not for God, but for war. And these boys knew something that their mothers did not, that cause they were so certain they needed to fight for didn't really exist. Perhaps they were among the only sane people in the world. Because they recognized that all they were doing was killing each other. These brave soldiers tried to end the war. Not just that night, and not just for a night, but forever. They tried, and they tried. 100 years ago, these boys proved they did not have to fight and hate. They proved it could be stopped quite easily and joyously. They proved that the normal could be disrupted and evil expectations spoiled. I know this is heavy, and that this is not what one expects from a joyous, glorious night, but it is an auspicious anniversary, an anniversary of what may be the most important thing to come out of an entire evil 5 years. And perhaps we can prove that we don't need to go back to normal ourselves. That we can be changed. That is what Christmas brings, when God breaks through into our world. And perhaps this could be another Christmas miracle as we praise God under these same stars this night.